Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When each of you were baptized, you were baptized according to Jesus' explicit instructions, with water and the Holy Spirit. Not with water alone. Jesus gave us the words of baptism. Listen to them again. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The priest or deacon then anointed your head with the oil of chrism, signifying the Holy Spirit. He did that after he baptized you with water. So we were all baptized with water and the Holy Spirit. When you were confirmed, the bishop or priest said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," just like Jesus just said in that gospel. And he anointed you on your head with the oil of chrism. Because of those gospel readings and those sacraments, you have already received the Holy Spirit. Now you have to learn how to live with it. And that requires two things. One, some teaching, as Jesus stressed, and a willingness on our part to learn how to use that gift. Imagine, just imagine, if I were to give a child a bicycle, but he had not yet learned how to ride it. Or imagine if I were to give you, each of you, an airplane, a working airplane. But until you learn how to fly it, it's going to stay on the ground. The bicycle is going to stay on the ground, stay in the garage, and the plane is going to stay on the ground because nobody learned how to use them. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. Before or after baptism, teaching or learning must happen. It's about making disciples. Only disciples can use the Holy Spirit. I don't think we've been doing a very good job of that in the church. Jesus tells us to teach and make disciples. Listen again to his words. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." I think we do catechism, but I don't think we do a very good job of teaching people how to ride that bicycle, how to fly that airplane. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It appears that all too often we put up barriers to our learning, barriers to the work of the Holy Spirit. We have to accept it. We have free will. The Holy Spirit's not going to impose himself on us. We have to be willing. We have to participate. We have to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill my heart." If we don't do that, then consequently, we don't grow in the Spirit. It stays in the garage. We've all received it. Where is it? It's in the garage. How can we learn how to grow in the Holy Spirit? There are lots of ways. I'll give you an example. And St. Paul gives this one. If you can honestly say, "Jesus is Lord," in your heart and with your lips that Jesus is Lord, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Learn to see it. St. Paul told us, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's difficult for you to say out loud, Jesus is Lord, in any situation. If you find that hard, then you haven't learned how to ride the bicycle. Let me invite you out to ride the bicycle. Try it. Just go out and say today sometime, Jesus is Lord. And if you have a hard time with that, you're struggling with Pentecost. Have you learned how the Holy Spirit works? Listen to St. Paul. He says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. And to each individual, the manifestations of the Spirit are given for some benefit. It's always to build up, to strengthen the community. Everyone here who has been baptized and confirmed has received the Holy Spirit. You might wonder sometimes, you never see anything. Remember, the Spirit's invisible. However, you may not have begun to learn how to ride the bicycle. Perhaps you left it in the garage. How can you be certain you've been grown in the Spirit? Well, look at the gifts of the Spirit in your life. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify, to build up, to exhort, to encourage and comfort the church. There's so many fine, delicate, beautiful ways to see the Holy Spirit. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. If you experience love, you have experienced the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the way the world loves, because the world doesn't understand love. I'm talking about that love like where you put somebody else first in front of you. Like the love a mother has for her child, or a married couple has for each other. Or when one of the couple gets seriously ill and the other immediately begins serving them and helping them. Or when you do that for one another between friends. That's the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't be possible without the Holy Spirit. When you have hope, that hope comes from the Holy Spirit. Did you know you can talk to the Holy Spirit? It's not a wisp. It is invisible, but it's a person. Do this with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're Trinity people. We believe God is one in three persons. Three persons in one God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can talk to this person. If you ask the Holy Spirit for faith or love or patience or wisdom or prudence, these things will be given to you. You can see some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit around the room. And you have your own particular gifts. Know what they are. On my recent pilgrimage to Europe, we visited Lourdes and Fatima, Santiago de Compostela, and Rome. And we encountered large crowds in these places with people from every part of the world speaking languages from all over the world. And they were always praying in many languages, and their prayers were the same prayers we pray. I've experienced the same thing, for instance, at Tepeyac, at the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Think it. 14 million people a year going there. 8 million people a year go to Lourdes and Fatima. That's a lot of people. hundreds of thousands of people any given day coming together. And you know what? They're always peaceful. They're always peaceful. They're prayerful. They're patient. They're kind. Those places are full of peace. You see it when large groups of people come into, for instance, St. Peter's Square in Rome, in front of the Basilica, where at any given time there'd be several hundred thousand people walking around. When we observe similar large gatherings of people, like in the secular world or worldly settings, we rarely observe this peace. Instead, there's this almost a kind of a tension wherever. Look last night in London. What was that? Large gatherings of people. There was no peace in that. Nobody was calling the Holy Spirit into that situation. Instead, there's always this tension. Look at a large football game. I mean, a really large football game, an NFL or a UT game or something. The crowds are coming. There's a tension there. Is it bad? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, look at the difference when the Holy Spirit comes. Well, there's a large concert or public demonstrations. You can know the presence or absence of the Holy Spirit in the tension you recognize or in the peace you recognize. Guess which one's the Holy Spirit? It's not that difficult. We just don't teach people how to ride that bike. It's important to know those gifts. We don't teach them well enough when we're doing catechism. We don't teach them well enough in the moments that we're teaching about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You guys can all tell me something about the Father. You can all tell me something about the Son. What can you tell me about the Spirit? We're not doing a real good job there. Know yourself. One of the best things is to know your gifts. Well, somehow we think that's prideful to say my gifts. No, it's not prideful. It's knowing your gifts. Know what they are and say thank you and use them. If you're having a difficult time becoming peaceful, know that the world is attracting you or distracting you a little too much. You're probably close to the Spirit, allowing the world to bother you. Recognize that. That's a very important moment in your daily life. When you find yourself stressed or impatient or angry or irritated, stop. Stop what you're doing. Pray. Ask for help. Get on the bike. It might be in the garage. That's where you'll find it. Ask the Holy Spirit for the gifts you've already been given. Ask for peace. It works. Ask for patience. It really does work. Ask for wisdom. Ask for knowledge. Ask for prudence. Ask for forgiveness. I can ask for things and get them, and they're not really my strong points. But I can ask for them. And it's amazing how they come. And if you ask for them more and more often, they become habits. What beautiful habits to have these spiritual gifts as habits. Ask. Jesus tells us it will be given to us. You can learn to ride that bicycle. You can learn to fly that airplane. You don't have to be a priest or a sister. It's in the garage. And trust the church. Jesus appeared to the disciples on the evening of his resurrection, that very same day, and he formed them into our church. He breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. This was the gift of the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, and forgiveness, and healing in the Holy Spirit. Gifts given to the church. You know, every time you pray in the Spirit. Learn to trust the church. Know her gifts. Know your gifts. Learn to ride that bicycle with the help of the Holy Spirit. Just ask. It will be given to you.